Tonight, our guest is Stephen Quayle. I'll call him Survivalist. There's so much to talk with Stephen Quayle about tonight that I'm going to divide tonight's program up with him in various segments because their topics are just absolutely riveting. In a moment, when we come back, we're going to talk about the possibility of a real or faked alien invasion. Also get his take on his new book called Return of the Long Walkers, which ties his research into the Genesis 6 giants. Next hour, we'll talk about Stephen's true fear, his real concern about World War III. Stephen Quayle, he's done a number of incredible research books, including his latest, Return of the Long Walkers. He has written books on bioterrorism, and he continues to warn the public about the dangers of all of these areas tonight, Stephen Quayle. Stephen, my friend, how are you?
Good evening, George. I'm well, thank you. It's going to be nice to talk about so many varied subjects.
My gosh, you've been doing your homework, my friend.
Well, I have, and just the whole alien card now is coming out. Obviously, the statements from the Vatican preparing people for the eventual encounter with aliens, the wars in the heavens, so to speak, people seeing triangular-shaped craft all over the world. You know, George, it used to be random sightings, and the UFO guys would have to run down every sighting, and now there are so many sightings and so many credible sightings that it's very hard for the powers of be to deny it. And I believe they're getting ready to stage and use the alien information to benefit the one world government by obviously keeping information from not only the American people, but the people of the world. They can therefore use it to their advantage when they need to. So whether they're staging a real alien invasion or they're going to break ranks and allow more information to come out, we're right there in time, and it ties in with all the stuff we're going to talk about tonight.
Stephen, years ago, Wernher von Braun told his aide, Carol Rosen, and Wernher, of course, came from Germany under Operation Paperclip and was probably one of those persons who truly was responsible for the rocketry which got us to the moon. He told her to be ready one day for a faked alien invasion, that will see this planet become a one-world government, that will see this planet push more toward a military rule and leadership. And, you know, he might not be wrong.
Yeah, I don't think he's wrong, George. I think he pretty much gave it away, let the cat out of the bag, because, again, when in all the years that I've been writing what I've been writing about, investigating, talking to people in the intelligence community, the military, There is a whole world out there that basically is, I would call, the real world. Well, those of us who are trying to break through and break the veil so that people can understand the way the world globalists, the world elite, is going to use this to basically bring us under. Obviously, if a threat is so great that only by binding or coming together as a world global population, a global entity, to take on this threat from outer space, obviously, you can see that the people that are going to generate the problem have got the solution. That solution, basically, is the New World Order, the one world government, with the rise of an individual that supposedly was going to promise the planet peace. Obviously, we know that that turns the planet into a totalitarian hellhole and obviously puts us into a state of prophetic reality that most people basically will maybe wink at, but when their eyes are wide open and see this stuff, it's going to be more than people standing on a building like a scene from Independence Day. It's going to be in total devastation, in my opinion. And again, we're now seeing the point where they can no longer keep everything under wraps, because one thing people got to understand, the New World Order has factions. Those factions are fighting, and there are some amazing men and women who are fighting those factions, and the whole revelation of UFOs, ancient technology, the war that's really in the, what I would call the spiritual realm, the fallen angels, angels, if you will, that have had their wings clipped and now have to resort to a technology that's so vastly superior to what most people think is the Saturn rocket mentality and technology. Again, we're out there already, as I've stated on your show many times. People can't imagine the technology that we now possess, whether it's reverse engineered or the actual integration of agreements, which I believe the fallen angels have made with different governments, and with the promise of alleviating things like a global famine, being able to control the weather. And by the way, I think that this plays into some of the eyewitness accounts of people seeing strange craft in the middle of the hurricanes that are being generated. I'm on record as stating that we absolutely have the ability to generate hurricanes, as do the Russians, as do the Chinese, and the weather wars taking place, and the craft, the unusual craft that are being involved in the sightings, are prima facie evidence to me that we're right there at that point in time.
Stephen, what have you uncovered about Project Bluebeam?
Well, Project Bluebeam is like so many of the projects that exist. Obviously, Norio Hayakawa was one that brought a lot of Bluebeam out. But basically, the ability to holographically project three-dimensional images, and not only by using a if you will, space-based laser platforms, but being able to use infrasound to accompany, if you will, the voice of God being placed into people's minds. In other words, bypassing their ears and going directly into the auditory cortex in the brain. So Project Bluebeam is a real project, and it's going to be interesting because there's going to come a time when it's going to be hard to separate what is an image or an illusion versus what's the real. And if the real is, quote, almost like a fantasy image, then obviously if the fantasy images can be scary enough or upsetting enough, then people will believe what they're being told. And obviously, if you're generating the threat, and if you're able, through technology, to scare the daylights out of the planetary population, then they'll surrender whatever they can or whatever they have to acquire that peace and safety.
Give me your scenario if Project Bluebeam is undertaken.
Well, first of all, I think that we would have worldwide sightings, and we would be hearing that the United Nations is having emergency sessions. I mean, this is scripted in so many of the science fiction movies, George.
It sure is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, seriously, my position is simply that science fiction movies were leaked. A lot of the real information was leaked to Hollywood.
Sounds like Independence Day, doesn't
it? Absolutely. And then by leaking the information to Hollywood and different studios, and the tie-in between, for instance, Gene Roddenberry, the originator of Star Trek, for example, was very, very tight with the Central Intelligence Agency. But it's not just Gene. It was the entire Hollywood community that would be tipped off. You would. Most people don't realize that probably one of the lead alien investigators, the man that owns the most implants and does his own funding of this, is Steven Spielberg.
That's right.
Tom Horn has an amazing story to talk about because I believe it was his niece that was abducted and had, Spielberg knew about her abduction and was literally debriefed by the Spielberg crew. So the fact of abductions, too, this is something we've got to talk about. The fact of abductions plays into the whole Genesis 6 genetic engineering, genetic manipulation. It's funny that in almost every abduction, the sexual probing, the withdrawal of either an egg from the female, sperm from the male, the, if you will, the sexual violation that so many of these abductees have experienced, it all goes right back to that human-animal or that human-alien hybridization with the movies like The X-Files or the different stories that have been out there that of the crossing of alien-human species. Now, this is, as you know, my position is that it took place in ancient times when the fallen angels who were able to materialize into the realm of humans had sex with earth women, producing the giants. Genesis 6 talks about, which became obviously the mighty men of old, mighty men of renown, the giants, if you will, the Herculean figures of history. But now they're doing it a different way, George. The secret labs, this is something I think that when I've literally talked to men who have enough stars on their
lapels, on his shoulders,
I'm not talking about people that are retired for 40 years. I'm talking active duty. And when they're telling me they have to deal with things that, if you've ever seen the movie The Cave and The Descent, they're telling me of stories that literally when some of the bravest and some of the toughest, the most dangerous men in the world, literally encounter this stuff and what has to happen in order to fight these things, I'm telling you, it takes a whole a level of unreality out of the equation and put you immediately thrust into a world that has been, if you will, matrixed or kept from us, and I'm wondering how people are going to adjust. So when you, the scenario I'm laying out is obviously a threat will have to be generated. You have to obviously have the fear factor. With the threat will have to be enough visible evidence and enough anecdotal evidence to make people start starting to worry. And for instance, more abductions, entire groups of people disappearing.
And get more and more of this information out.
Absolutely.
Right?
So I believe that's already started, especially with the Catholic Church has been probably on the forefront of talking about, number one, can aliens be saved? Do they need to be saved? Are they beyond the grace of God? Are they all evil? Are they good? And I mean, when you start seeing this in
I know it was in, and also, you know, you can believe in extraterrestrials and not worry about your belief in God. I mean, those were just fascinating statements.
Right. This is a quantum shift. This is what's called a transform thought indication, simply stating that what has been the accepted and usually taught, if you will, or closely held beliefs, are now opening up. And I can tell people this. Most people don't understand the Vatican has an intelligence agency second to none. They hook in with the major intelligence agencies in the West and obviously have ties to the East also. So when Malachi Martin, for instance, Father Malachi Martin, before his death, he was talking about this stuff. And there are people, myself included, that believe he was murdered for, at that point in time, saying too much. When I've had four-star generals tell me that the number one and two things that NASA does not want people to deal with openly, it's Stargates, now this was years ago, and also the giants or the aliens or the crossbreeds or the what are called incubatoriums, the secret underground labs. We've all heard Phil Schneider, or a lot of people have heard Phil Schneider's interview before, by the way, he was murdered, of the battles in Dulce. Dulce is the underground base in Dulce, New Mexico.
Exactly.
And I can tell you this, that I've literally talked to the people that are charged with going into these bases when some of these things get loose. And when I talk about some of these things, it's interesting that people have a hard time understanding that the Russians, one of the foremost eye surgeons in the world, the foremost, not one of the foremost, I want to correct myself, Dr. Ernest Moldashev, probably the lead investigator looking the world over for giants, was talking to about a certain vicinity that even some of these giants that are in suspended animation, that you cannot go beyond a certain barrier before literally the emanations coming out of their brains almost telepathically begin to almost tear your head apart. Now, this is coming from a Russian that was taken into the caves in the Himalayas. Now, I jump to one of the underground bases. In this case, we'll go to Dulce, where a specific group of very brave and amazing men and women that are without equal. When I say without equal, it's one thing to deal with something you can see. It's another thing to have to deal with this stuff.
That's right.
But they talked about a group of scientists that would not obey the red line. The red line is a literal geographical distance, you know, as I think it's like 14 or 17 feet, where they cannot go, even beyond where these things are caged. And some found out the hard way, and basically, you know, I mean, it sounded like to me that these things were able to literally take these individuals apart. I think I was told that over a dozen scientists perished underground when they thought that the red line, it's painted on the floor, by the way, in one of these areas.
Jeez.
So, you know, these are stories. People say, oh, this is all crazy stuff. What are you drinking? I don't drink. What are you smoking? Don't smoke. And the thing is that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word can be established. So what I've tried to do, George, as you know, as I track different people down around the world and talk to them, I obviously have bits of information that I keep close to the vest, that A, doesn't know that I necessarily know, and B, doesn't know that I necessarily know.
I have long suspected that as much as you reveal on this program and your own, that sometimes you hold back for a reason.
I do, because if that's the only way that I have of being able to verify. Now, look, in you know, in talk radio, we're all subject to information, misinformation, and disinformation.
You got to weed through it.
You got to weed through it. But the only way that I can basically bring the best job that I can do is get independent verification of the same event from different sources, unknown to each other, and when the details stack up, 5 points for 5 points, I got to tell you something. there is no doubt in my mind that I've been given the truth. Now, again, people say, well, why would anybody talk to you? Well, it's simple, because my goal is to give people a realistic heads up, a future glimpse, if you will, of what lies on the horizon. In this case, the event horizon is upon us. And as we talk later in the show, there are so many events taking place. For instance, the Hadron Collider. A lot of people have a hard time understanding the idea of a Stargate.
And it goes online next week.
Barring, as you're probably aware, there's a lawsuit against it.
Right. Two of them, actually.
Right.
Now, one in Europe, one here.
Right. But what's fascinating to people, they should understand, just in the last 2 years, George, if you look at all the nuclear power anomalies worldwide, okay, there have been so many nuclear anomalies. Rose Havari and some of the sites that monitor all the different events literally record and put out on a map. You can go on their site and see all the anomalies. When I talk to a specific group of military individuals about that, they said, Steve, they can only keep the gates open for 10 seconds at a time. And there have been, in no kidding, there have been 50 to 60 separate events in nuclear reactors. This is unrelated to earthquakes. It's just like there were never any events. So when Hawk, who was a guest host, you and I have talked about him,
yes,
that used to take my show for me one day a week, when he was the first to acknowledge that and pick it up, it started to become really, really apparent that someone's diverting a horrific amount of power for some purpose. And they'll usually come up and say, oh, they had a leak of radioactive water, blah, blah, blah. But what people don't understand is that it takes a horrific amount of energy to power the gates. And when I approached a certain group of individuals about this and I said, okay, why are all of these events happening? And they're saying they're opening the gates. Now, what's fascinating is that Jesus made a statement, interesting statement, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the people of faith, okay, against his church, which he told to Peter. Now, most people think of gate, you know, you don't get beat up by a gate, okay? But a gate either holds something back or allows something through.
That's right.
And so the fact is that the Stargates, now what I'm bringing that right into the Hadron Super Collider, when you remember, George, the show The Time Tunnel?
Yes.
Isn't it fascinating, yeah, if you take that science fiction show, what, late 60s, maybe early 70s?
It's just like CERN.
Yeah, it's just like CERN. So the point is that in quantum physics, obviously, the realm of what I call black physics, and black physics are the realm of what I would say hyperdimensional physics that Richard Hoagland and others talk about, that exist beyond the standard training of, let's say, a physics teacher in college. And in the world of intelligence, or as I usually say, lack of it, the point is that you are compartmentalized. The information you're given is usually you get to build part A of the alphabet through Z, and you don't always see unless your security clearance is high enough. We're talking about clearances that are majestic, are cosmic. These are real names of clearances that are 28 levels above top secret. So what's fascinating to me is that the warnings that are going out are real. And unfortunately, the people that are now watching the hurricanes, we've got four on the horizon. I would encourage everyone to pay specific attention. Google Earth the hurricanes and see. Look for anything that has solid lines that is not natural. You know, in nature, it's really critical that you understand that when men make things, it's usually not in the pattern of nature. In other words, we're linear.
We'll be back with more with Stephen Quayle in just a moment. So here we are with Project Bluebeam. Once they start using this holographic look into the sky of false UFOs, what does it mean? What do they want? We'll talk with Stephen about that when we come back. So, Stephen, sooner than later, do you think they're going to flip this holographic light and we're going to see these objects all over the place?
Well, I think we're seeing them now, and I think that we're seeing the real. I think the projection comes at a later date. I think now we're seeing, when people are seeing TR-3s, Tango Romeo 3 Bravos, or Tango Romeo 3 Charlies, those are the typical black, if you will, secret aircraft of the United States government, electrogravitic. Now, Standeo is...
Or the hidden government.
Or the hidden government. I mean, the hidden government, as well as the hidden military. And what right now is impressive is that the Russians are even talking about bringing out a lot of their secret weapons. When we get to that, the thing that's fascinating, George, is that the technologies, especially the Tesla technology that the Russians possess and have actually not only effectuated but absolutely gone beyond what most people in the West even can realize, and then coming into contact with our electrogravitic craft. Again, people think of aircraft in the U.S. military as fighter jets and bombers and transport aircraft, but there's a whole division in the secret government that exists that has stuff that, as I've been told by many of the people that have talked to me, and as you've interviewed so many people over the years on talk radio, this stuff is so far advanced and so far in the future that we're talking about stuff that absolutely can cloak invisibility. Remember, we used to talk about that, and people say, oh, they can't do that. Now all the stories are coming about and out that invisibility is no big deal anymore. We've got stuff that basically, and it's my contention based on what I've been told, that we have gone so much further into outer space and into our galaxy than most people can even believe. Because, again, I believe that we are in the Matrix. And when you're dealing with contemporary propulsion, contemporary aircraft, and the space shuttle and all that, that's a lot for show, okay?
Well, with this faked invasion, what do they want to accomplish, Stephen?
Total world control and domination.
So we'll panic, probably. That's what they expect.
Absolutely.
They'll say we've got to spend more resources in the military might, and we've got to do all these things, and we're in control now. We've got to shut these sectors down. Maybe you can't stay out late, and off they go.
Well, right, and I think the thing that people need to realize is that there's a seen world that we deal with, but the invisible world, once CERN and some of these other systems are fully integrated, then the invisible world becomes visible, because basically you're dealing with invisibility in one realm. You're bending light rays. You're absolutely able to change the molecular structure of different items that are material. But the point is, again, going back to even the Apostle Paul said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalized powers, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Well, we're talking about the heavens, okay? And we're talking about the prophetic time zone we live in, where there's going to be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. The very powers of heaven are going to be shaken. When it talks about the powers of heaven, those are actual entities, George. Those aren't like lightning and thunder and all that stuff, because they're identified in, if you will, the hierarchy of the angelic realm. You're talking about stuff up in the, again, you get into that angelic realm. And again, when I speak of angels, I'm not talking about little fat-faced cherubs that people put on their mantle plates, you know, made of porcelain, you know?
That's true.
I mean, so we're talking about global control. So obviously, we're going to have to yield something. And what is the New World Order saying? That the day of nation states is over. We're going to be one giant hug fest. But before you have one giant hug fest, you have to have such a transformation of the existing national structures, and you have to have a change of thinking. Obviously, if you're the devil or his minions, and I believe in a literal devil, I believe in there are good angels and fallen angels. And fallen angels, let me explain this to people, because this is the most confusing thing, I think, that 90% of the people in the world that contact me, is God created specific realms and barriers for these entities to stay in. When they left that realm, if you will, heaven, and they took on themselves the physicality of man, messed with the creation, everything God did in Genesis, he said, after its likeness and kind, and saw that it was good. Now with the transgenic and the realm of combining animal, human DNA, human alien DNA, I maintain, as you know, we've done shows in the past where the Human Genome Project is looking more for non-human genomes, in other words, genetic material that exists out of the human genetic structure, than it is looking at what makes the Icelanders different than the Norwegians or different than the American Indians,
right.
Native Americans. So when you're talking about this, it's fascinating that you get right back to the very thing that we're being told. Now, tying it in with aliens, isn't it fascinating that in all the years that you've been studying abductions and and talk to people. It's always the genetic manipulation of human reproductive processes or substances that basically seems to fascinate you. I tell people, aliens don't basically live in a world where they have to show up on Earth to have sex after traveling 4.5 million light years, you know, for a good time, you know? And I mean, that's almost what some people believe. I've been told that, literally, with people with a straight face. And I said, trust me, if you've got that kind of technology, that's not the reason. So the point is that we're talking about the days that if the days weren't short, that means if all this event or these events that we're speaking about weren't compressed, Jesus said there'd be no flesh left alive. If you allow transgenesis to go on, in other words, crossing animal and human DNA, and when you and I first started talking about that, you probably couldn't find two stories a week on the net about it. Now you can't.
They're all over the place.
They're all over the place. So, and you know, the bioethicists, I love that, especially the alien ones that have lizard eyes that are saying, oh, we see nothing wrong with it. you basically want to say, will you take off your human suit and it's a human suit and show your scales, please, you know?
What can we do about this, Stephen, if it is indeed going to be a faked alien invasion?
Well, I think what you and I are disarming the fear factor. People understand it and know ahead of time. That's why I've done everything I've done, George. You know, you mentioned the book I'm bringing out. The book, it just got proofread, by the way, and it's important to bring this out. Long Walkers, so people understand, is a Special Operations Command's name. I didn't name them that. They name them that for the giants and the genetically altered, if you will, species that are out there.
And it's more of a novel, but there's a lot of truth behind it.
Right, and I got to tell you something. I have a wonderful, wonderful. My strong suit is not fiction. Duncan Long is one of the great fiction writers. Duncan's a very brilliant man. And so what we did is we took my movie script. Okay, I went to two of the biggest studios. They said we can't do this for 2 years because we're committed to all these projects.
Right.
And I mean, even Steven Spielberg now has gone to India to get money to fund his projects. But to make a long story short, I said, I'm going to put everything I know about this stuff into a novel form, in a fictional novel form. I don't write fiction. So we basically, you and I have spoken about the Egyptian finds in the Grand Canyon that were carried in the Phoenix Gazette at the turn of the century. Professor Kincaid, which the Smithsonian denies. And most people don't understand in the United States that what I always get is, well, where are all the skeletons if these things exist? Well, basically, they end up in crates at Area 51 or S4.
How big are these giants, Stephen?
The ones that are currently alive, I'm talking not only bones, I'm talking alive, 12, even some as tall as 14 feet.
And in biblical days, they were about the same height?
Yep.
Okay.
And some of them were, Og, king of Bashan, was 18 feet tall.
Jeez.
And see, so the thing is that you and I have spoken of the cultures around the world. Every single culture talks about this idea that these entities existed and that the gods, plural, little g's, had sex with the earth women. And, you know, one of the ladies sends me an email after we talk about this stuff on your show saying, well, wouldn't the babies be really big and kill the mother? I said, absolutely. As a matter of fact, in my book, Genesis 6 Giants, I literally chronicle some of the early Spanish, I guess you call them monks, that went into South America, where the natives told of the story where literally God rained down lightning on a group of these giants because they were literally slaughtering the women. They would impregnate them, and then they would cut the babies out for cesarean, okay?
Jeez.
I mean, again, this is in my book, but I think the fascinating thing is that when you talk about long walkers, most people don't understand this. We're talking about individuals, even the Native Americans, the Paiute Indians, the Shoshone spoke about these guys were big enough to pick up buffalo, okay, under their arms. I have on my website, stevequayle.com, on the Giants section, my wonderful illustration by my illustrator, Brian Snowdy. I think he's one of the most gifted men in the world. You've seen the different illustrations.
He's good.
He's really good. And Brian understands the stuff. By the way, he's just returned from Japan several months ago, and he's tracking the Japanese giants, which were called the Oni, O-N-I.
Are these all over the planet?
All over the planet. All over the planet. Every single place we've gone, And when I say that, remains, it doesn't matter if they're Alaska to Patagonia, as most people probably have heard me before on your show, we've talked about Patagonia literally means big feet. And it's fascinating. Sure enough, every time you and I do a show together, the History Channel will play something saying, well, these weren't human bones, they were dinosaur bones.
Right, right.
And it's almost fascinating. I'm not kidding you. But what's interesting is before the disinformation, they'll try and say it's acromegaly. Acromegaly is a bone disease, like Andre the Giant, the wrestler.
How big, a 14-foot person,
right?
How big is his skull?
Well, the skulls that have been found by individuals, I'll give you a good example, some of them measure 48 inches, 4 feet.
That's a 4-foot skull.
That's a 4-foot skull from occipital condyle to occipital condyle.
And then 10 feet of body, I guess, right?
Yeah, but what is amazing is the fact that so many of the South Sea Islanders, even up to World War II, would talk about these entities. And you remember during World War II, there were a lot of rumors about the Japanese eating American servicemen and stuff?
Yes.
Well, that really has its basis in the living live giants, because on Guadalcanal there was even a statue. And Mario, the gentleman that I've spoken of on who wrote the Solomon Island Giants piece, okay, when he and I started talking, George, and at one point you were going to meet him because I was trying to arrange the meeting.
Yes, you were.
And this is a true story. I never heard from him after the explosion in Fiji, but I know he was in Fiji. And he said, look, Steve, these guys are chasing me. And I said, who's chasing you? He said, the intelligence agencies from about three different countries. So that really happened. But anyway, he was married to a Guadalcanalese. And everybody knows the story of Guadalcanal, the military story of it. But what they don't understand is this is also, whenever you have giants, active, what are believed giants in existence, okay, you have aliens and you have UFOs associated with it. For instance, in the Solomon Islands, there are voluminous accounts of alien and UFO sightings. Voluminous.
See, and if a human, if the proportion of a human, let's say skull to body is like 1 to 5, okay?
Right.
And if this is a 4-foot skull, they could be 20 feet tall, Stephen.
Absolutely. And what there are in my book, as you know, you've seen a copy of it or it's on the website, I just show even the Romans and the different historians through history have talked about some of these individuals. And some of the reports get so large that it's really hard to embrace the idea that if you understand even how reproduction works and cellular division, you're talking about an energy level. You're talking about body temperatures, by the way, that are way up there. And you're talking about a tremendous amount of strength.
Are these beings intelligent?
Absolutely.
Okay, so they're not like animal mentality.
No, and they're not like Neanderthals that couldn't pass first grade, okay?
Right.
I mean, some of them are phenomenally intelligent, and many of them communicate. And it's interesting because the sounds that they make, you've probably heard of harmonic levitation.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Bruce Cathy and others have written about that. The thing is that also on my website, I show some of the giants in the Andes, the Mayans and the Incas. Most people don't realize this, but the giants supposedly are able to somehow, with their nasal cavities, generate a frequency that offsets gravity that enables them to move huge stones. I'm talking huge. Mario told me, and I've talked to him in person, he said, Steve, my father-in-law told me stories of when they were gold mining in one of the areas of one of the islands are looking for gold. One of the D6 or D7 cat, one of the blades was off of it, and one of these things came out of the cave, and he said, my father-in-law watched one of these things pick up a D8 blade. And I said, well, Mario, that thing's got to weigh about 2 tons at least, okay? That's a big, giant caterpillar. And say, pitch it.
Yeah.
And I said, well, how far to go? He said, a couple hundred feet.
Jeez.
And Mario said his father-in-law said he just flipped it like it was nothing at all. So we're talking about strength that is just phenomenal. So that makes it easy to understand how a lot of stuff in antiquity got built. I do not believe that the pyramids were built by Hebrew slaves, okay? I believe that obviously they predate Hebrew slaves and that they were built, thousands of years, around 12,000 BC, and what I tell everybody, George, based on, again, multiple witnesses, various sources, various countries, various men who have been in them, that it's not what you see the temples above ground that tell the stories. It's what's underground. And, for instance, in the Grand Canyon, one time you and I did a show together on giants, and one of the men who is physically at the retrieval site in the Grand Canyon, one of the caves on the side of the mountain, talked about taking out the 12-foot giant Egyptian sarcophaguses and taking them to, at that point it would have been in Area 51. And he absolutely was terrified, okay? And he could tell me things that no one would know. Again, I hold back things unless they were actually there.
And did they started off as extraterrestrial beings?
Well, if you say off of the planet, the giants are a combination of extraterrestrial and terrestrial.
Exactly. And they're still around.
They're still around. And see, that's the thing that Jesus said, that we're going to see a time when it's just as in the days of Noah, okay? And most people think, well, hey, you know, hey, it was a dry world and then it rained and we had a flood, people that believe that. But the point is that we're talking about a violence that was so, and I'll use the word vile, V-I-L-E, that literally God had to bind to these things. Can I tell you the most fascinating thing I've learned? If you were to say, Steve, tell me the most fascinating thing you've ever heard.
Absolutely.
I have absolutely gotten a verification from two men unknown to each other. One man literally was under the streets of Rome, put there, said, four different people praying, different parts of the world. He said he was taken to the streets of Rome, taken down into a catacomb, and saw two 12-foot giant lizard-like creatures, almost like gargoyles, with leathery wings. And he said that he literally watched giant chains. And I said, well, how big? He said, imagine putting your arms together, and that's how, you know, making a circle with your arms. He said, that's how big the links were. But he said, what I saw, Steve, and he said, it blew my mind. And I got to tell you something. This isn't some guy that, you know, makes stories up. And the story he told was identical to what a four-star general told me in dealing with the same thing, the binding of these leathery wing-like creatures. And this guy happens to be an amazing man who did a lot of praying. So the thing is that I'm not saying anybody can do that. I'm saying this guy could do it.
Can you imagine if they ever broke loose?
Exactly. Well, now let me tell you where you just hit the million-dollar bonus round on that thing. For some reason, there are individuals that want to break these things loose. Even when you go to some of the Psalms, see, the Bible is so timely and wonderful in what it's talking about. Book of Daniel, everybody's heard, Daniel the prophet, Daniel in the lion's den. But the point is that there comes a time when the knowledge will increase, but we're talking about things that have been bound, and this is something that is interesting, because there's a passage in Scripture that says, let us break their bands asunder. And it's usually these things are found, by the way, George, in a form of stasis. In other words, they're in suspended animation, and they've got copper bracelets on their wrists, on their ankles, and on their neck. And there are people who literally loose those things, and for some reason, because of the way God gave man authority and he abdicated authority, there are people loosing those things thinking they're going to get great power, and some end up getting eaten on the spot.
Strange, but very fascinating. Up next, Stephen Quayle talks about end times and then his fear of a major war.